Did you bring your Bible this morning or your, well, I guess some of you brought your pad or your phone, you know, you tap on there and that's okay. Sometimes, you know, if we got enough of us, we'll hear some tapping, I suppose, for those that have a phone. But I carry my Bible. I just like seeing it on the page. And I do. And so don't throw your Bible away. Amen. Hang on to it. There may be a day you can't get it off your phone or something happens. How many know sometimes our phones don't always work the way we want, you know? So keep one handy, amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word today. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to teach us and to bring out your truths any way you so desire. We thank you for the truth of your word this morning, Father. And I thank you, Father, that it will speak to our hearts. And that, Father, we will know, Lord, and take another step in realizing who we are and all that you have given us, Lord, and our ability to walk with you in your will and purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, if you did last week, Hans was here, you know that. I just want to mention real quickly, if you did receive a word from the Lord, we're working on that. Praise the Lord. And, you know, we'll have it for you. But I believe it's online now. And, so it can be heard at the website. It is familyprayercenter.com and you can look it up on there. And, I just want to let you know, I mean, if you ever do receive a word from someone, and you write that down, remember, that is a word from God. That is God's desire. It doesn't mean it's going to automatically come to pass. Amen. It may confirm some things that God's already shown to you. It may, you know, maybe it's something that he wants to help you with. Or you saying, hey, if you'll do these things, then my will can come to pass. But we have something to do with it. When we cooperate with God and we take it to heart and we say, oh, okay. You know, in Timothy, it talks about where Timothy went to war. He said, Timothy, fight the good fight. You know, use those prophecies as a war against the enemy or against our own soul, you know, the enemy of our soul. And we can stand on that and say, Lord, this is what you want. But guess what? If we don't obey him and we don't follow him, in certain ways, then it may not happen. Amen. It doesn't mean it's automatic. It is God's desire and God is bringing forth what he wants. You know, it doesn't mean that was, well, that was a false prophecy. It didn't come to pass. Well, not necessarily. It's all because some things, now some prophecies, yeah, they should come to pass. I mean, we've got, we won't get into that today, right now. There's a lot of things, you know, that can happen. And some people, you know, we receive something from the word, from the Lord. It should confirm what's already in our heart. Amen. And we did receive that last week. I know main prophecy over the church confirmed several things. Amen. Oh, about what God had already said about the church and how he's raising it up and we are a light. But how many know we have to go there? We have to continue to pursue him. We can't just stop and say, oh, well, you know, God said it's going to happen. It will happen. But we have a part to play in that. Amen. We have to keep praying. We have to keep pursuing. We have to keep listening. We have to keep following him. And he brings those things, all those things to pass. Glory to God forever. Anyway, that's all I'm going to say right now. So if you get that, pray on it. Talk to the Lord about it. You know, look for any instructions that he may have given you. Wherever that may be, and then, you know, you can help apply it in your life, work it, those things out. Say, Lord, where does this fit in my life? What is going on here? I know that these are things that you've already spoken to me about. I thank you for confirming that, but let's walk it out. Help me walk it out, Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Glory to God. Well, this morning, the Lord has spoken to me specifically I'd like you to turn to John chapter 3. We have a word about being born again. I want us to look at that again today. I know we've been studying about the different offices. We'll get back to it as the Lord leads. But right now, I want us to look at John chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. He says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi," or teacher, we might say, or minister, "we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He said, Nicodemus says to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Because the wind blows where it will, where it listeth, or where it wills, and you hearest the sound thereof, and cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus is wondering how these things can be. And he answered and said, Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Are you a master of Israel and know not these things? Truly, truly, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, then you believe not. How shall you believe when I tell you of the heavenly things?" So here is a story where Jesus is explaining to Nicodemus that every man must be born again. And Nicodemus is answering in the natural, and we know that it is what? By the Spirit. It is the spirit of man that is born of God. And that's what we need to realize. He said, except a man, verse 3, be born again, he cannot. It is impossible for him to see or really even understand the things of God. The only thing he can understand is that you must be born again, right? The message to the unsaved world, yes, God loves you. He's got a plan for you. Jesus came for you. But to really understand God and to know him, we must. It is absolutely necessary to be born from God, or in other words, born from above is what he's saying here. And he goes and he says, yes, you were born of your mother. You were born of water. In other words, how many know when the mother is born, the water breaks and the baby is born, and we're born into this natural world? And that is, that which is born of that is what? It is. It is flesh. And flesh, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of what? The Spirit is spirit. In other words, the inward man. When you gave your heart to Jesus, that spirit was changed from darkness to light. We moved fathers. You went from the father. We were born into this earth because of the DNA of Adam. You and I were fallen. We were born into a fallen race. We are a fallen human race. We have not been, we are dead to God. We're not alive to God when we're first born. Now we're in a place that, now babies in a place of innocence. They're not going to hell for their actions at that point. But yet on the inside of them, they have a nature that is not born again. How many know? You didn't teach your child to tell a little lie. You know, he's 2 years old. He's only 2 years old. Now, did you do that? No, mommy. No, mommy. No, I didn't do that. You know, and they'll stand by it, and you know, or a 3 year old, you know, 2 or 3 years old, and you're like, well, you know, how can they be defying me? You know, you're my little baby. You're my perfect angel. But deep down on the inside, how many know when we begin to understand and the law comes, Paul said, I found myself that I could not keep that law. It was impossible. So we realize that it is only when a person, he said, it is impossible to see the kingdom of God. We can't really understand the things of God until we receive the life of God on the inside. So we need to realize that when the life of God moved in, something changed. Amen. You can now, because we're born again, now we can begin to understand the things of God. Let's go to John chapter 1 for a minute. Just back up a couple of verses. And here it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now he's talking here, of course, about Jesus being the living Word. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. Sorry, guys. In him was life. And that life was the light or the development of men. We can see that life was the light of men. It began to bring light to mankind, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And so here we see that Jesus was the one that was sent. In him was life and what? And light to men. He was the only one that was born again upon the earth. He was the only one that was alive to God. He was birthed from his Father in the womb of Mary. This supernatural virgin birth was necessary. Why? We've talked about this before, because God didn't have a perfect man on the earth. He had to come from the outside and bring that man to the earth. Because of man's fall, or what? We're separated from God and death moved in. Where did he first die? We've talked about that. God said, you will surely die. You know, back in Genesis, right? He will surely die if we eat of the fruit. Well, did his physical man immediately die? No. But the inside man, that spirit man, died, and eventually his physical body died. He lost the glory of God. He lost the presence of God within his self. And God said, I have to set you outside the garden, because I do not want you in a lost state forever. For if they ate of the tree of life, he didn't want them to eat of the tree of life, right? And be in a lost state forever of mankind. We have no hope. But instead he said, no, I take you out of the garden and I make the plan. And he says, I'm going to send one. And here he is. Here is Jesus, the one that was from the beginning, the one that created all things, God himself, Jesus being God. He's there with the Father, with the Holy Spirit. And he was there in the beginning. There wasn't anything that was made without him knowing about it. Do you remember when he said, before Abraham was, I am? Jesus said, I am. I was there. I was with the Father. And he being willing to come and say, I will redeem mankind. I will pay the price for all man, because man needed the Redeemer. Oh my goodness. And this is just, we could go further here, but here he was, that light. Now John came It says verse 6, there's a man sent from God. His name was John, John the Baptist. The same came as a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. So John's saying he was not the light. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which what lighteth every man that comes into the world. Have you been lit today? Have you been lit by Jesus? He came to light your candle, to light your spirit, to bring the true light that only God could bring, to change us from the inside out, that that new man that's on the inside could then begin to see. He said it's impossible, unless a man be born again, what? To see the kingdom of God. And here we see he is that light. He brought the light. Jesus is that light. And he said it is the light. It is the true light which lights every man that comes into this world, each believer. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world did not know him. But he came to his own, and they didn't receive him. Received him not, but there were those that did. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Glory to God. There's good news in the Word of God today. Do you realize that born again nature on the inside of you is enough? It is filled with the very light and life of God. It came and changed you, and we are no longer in that darkness. We're no longer lost, but we've been found. We have a light, and we can now understand the things of God and be taught what by him. We have a nature that is one now that is like God's, one that is like Christ. He said the same kind. In other words, you have your own spirit. He has his own spirit, but yours was darkness and Jesus was light. And now yours has been lit. Light has come. Life has come to the inside of us. We have been changed, born from above, and now have the capacity then, he said, to see and to begin to understand the things of God. Jesus said, you're not going to see it. They didn't see it here. They couldn't really see it fully. But those that did believe, as many as what began to receive him, to them gave he that power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. Now, we were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but we're born of what? Of God. In other words, in the natural, we're born of blood, right? The natural man. Which is born of blood, born of the will of the flesh, born of the will of man, you know, our natural part of us, our mother and father, you know. A lot of times people say, well, you know, we're just born God. Well, no, man decides. We decide. He said to man, you be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. He gave that command, and man now has that will, has the free will to bring about children in the earth. It should be done properly and right, but, you know, hallelujah. However you got here, doesn't really matter. It was the will of someone. Amen. Now God did form you in your mother's womb. The Bible says that. He forms us. He knew us. But that doesn't mean he didn't decide, hey, he didn't decide someone's going to be, you know, born a certain way. If that's true, then he decided, you know, because we're of a fallen race, we have certain things. Our first birth, we're not all equal. Have you ever seen anybody born without arms or legs? Or maybe they have a defect. Maybe they have that problem. You ever see one of those kids that's in the wheelchair, you know, they're all gnarled up. And sometimes their parents just take them to the place, the children's center, and that's where they live. But in their spirit, they're still God's. They still have a call. They still have a place in God. And God really wants them to be totally free, to come to a place where they can know him for all eternity and be free. and be healed and be whole. How many know there's a place in God where we can see those things happen? But see, we're not all equal at the first birth. Who can run? You know, how many know some people can run faster than others? Amen. You know, there's great athletes that are born, and you know, it doesn't really matter how much you or I train, we're not going to win. Amen. You know, yeah, they train to get better, and usually those that are the best are very, you know, they're just what? Parts of a second, right? Apart. Tenth of a second. Eighth, you know, hundredth of a second. You know, because they all train and they're in that class of the athlete. And there's not a lot we can do about it. We can't do anything about our first birth necessarily in certain ways. But how many know in our second birth, when we're born of God, we're all equal. We become one with Him, and boom, we receive the same life of God that anybody else received. You receive the same kind of nature that I received. When we get born again, we receive the same inheritance from God. We became that son or that daughter of a living King. And not only are we born again, but we receive from Him an inheritance. In other words, there's things, how many know what an inheritance is? That's when you get something that was left to you from someone else. Amen, right? You didn't have to earn it, did you? No, it wasn't because you were good enough, but it was because you were the heir. You are the one that's an inheritor. How many know, even in the Bible, there were kings that inherited a kingdom. Some of them were good kings, but most of them were bad kings, weren't they? They didn't inherit it because they were good. They inherited it because they were the one, you know, that was in that place. And that's what Jesus had given to us. God gave to us through Christ. Now, we see that that light came. He said, this is the light that what brings light to all men. If we receive Him, then the light moves in. And we begin to understand. We begin to be clear. And we can then be taught by Him. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. When we understand what really took place, what really happened when you were born again? Our nature was changed. Our spirit became light. Our life became one where our inner man now looks like Jesus. It came alive to God like Jesus was alive to God. He was the only one that was alive to God at the beginning. When He first came, He's the only one on earth that was alive to God. Everyone else had what? The death nature. They were saved in the belief of what? The coming Messiah. Now the Messiah has come. And in that place, we can now understand Him. 2 Corinthians, let's just go to verse. Now the whole chapter is good, but for time here, we'll start in verse, let's start in verse 5. Verse 4. He says, my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Now here, if you look over in even in 1 Corinthians, toward the end here, he's beginning to speak. Paul said, it is the foolish things. God said, you know, the foolish things of this world to confound those that are wise. He's talking about the difference between the wisdom of men and the wisdom of God. And here he says, well, we speak the wisdom of God, what? In a mystery, even the hidden wisdom of God. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they knew, but they didn't know. They didn't know who he was. They didn't really see. They were not yet born again, but some of them refused to listen. Amen. He said, those that received him, light began to come. They began to see who he was. Begin to realize there's a change taking place. Verse 9 says, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. How many have ever heard that verse? You know, oh, well, you just don't know yet what God has prepared for you. However, he says in verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Now, so the spirit of man, which was changed, we can know God. He's saying here, God has what? Revealed this mystery of Christ in us. He's revealed the mystery that God desires for us and with us. Hallelujah. We don't speak the wisdom of God. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. None of the princes of this world knew. If they knew, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. The enemy didn't know. People of this world, they didn't realize that God had come. Jesus had come. But God's revealed them to us by his Spirit. For what man knows the things of man, verse 11, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. So, because, verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judges of no man. For who's known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So here now he's saying, Paul is beginning to speak, and he says, I'm not coming to you with the enticing words of man's wisdom. It's not about man's wisdom, but I'm talking about the power of God. Not just the power of God to bring the demonstration and miracles, but the power of God that's come to live on the inside of you. The same Spirit that Jesus had now lives in you. You now have received, it says verse 12, not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in words, which men's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, now on the inside of us, we have the ability to understand the spiritual things. Why? Because our spirit's been made light. It's come into God. It has been changed. It was born again. It was born not of men, right? Not of the flesh, but of the Spirit we're born. Born from our Father. He is the Father of our spirit. And we need to get our mind and our thinking more on our spirit than we do on this natural mind. Amen? The Bible says the natural thinking is carnal to God. It is enmity against God, he said in Romans 8. He said it's against God. It doesn't know the things of God. It can't really know them. They are spiritually discerned. So really, when God is talking to us, he's talking to us from our spiritual man. We contact God with that spirit. It is what is alive to God, and it is where we contact him and how we really understand. Because revelation It comes to our spirit first and then to our natural mind. You know, yes, we meditate on it, we think about it, we have those things, but the real understanding comes from the heart. It comes from our inner man. How many know all eternal change, all permanent change comes from the inside out, comes from that inner man. Yes, we do have to get the Word of God in our mind, in our natural mind. It helps a lot. But really, how many know those people, they've learned the whole Bible. They know the Bible better than you and I together. All of us put together, they know more scriptures, they could quote scriptures, but they really can't explain some of the things of God. Much of the things of God. They don't really gain the revelation because they're looking to the natural mind. The intellect is no safeguard against deception. You're not going to be safe from deception trying to figure it out with our natural thinking. God said that the natural mind can't really understand those things, but the spirit of man, now that you've been made a spirit, you've got a spirit, one that looks just like Jesus. I mean, you know, if we have here, you know, I mean, if you have someone, or if you have I'll go ahead and take the parable that I learned from Pastor Dave, because he was talking about how, you know, if you have a duck, but that duck is raised by chickens. How many know? At first, he thinks he's a chicken. He's trying to be a chicken. Mama chicken's trying to teach him to peck the, you know, the grains and everything else. But how many know his nature on the inside tells him, no, I know I've got to go get in the water. And he starts running down to the pond, and Mama chicken grabs him and spanks his little die-die and tells him, no, you stay here. Don't you go down to that water. You're not need to be in that water. You'll drown down there. And so he's there, and he's all trying to be a chicken, but at night, still at night, he sneaks away. He goes down, and he starts swimming in the water. Why? Because something on the inside, his inner man, he's a duck. At what? At nature, at his core. At your core, you belong to God. At the inside, that's the part of you that's been changed. You now have the nature of God on the inside. And on the inside of you, you want to do what? Righteousness. He said, we are born again, what? In true righteousness and holiness. We're not the same. We're not that old sinner that was saved. Yeah, we were saved by grace through faith, but we've been changed. We didn't stay the same. The nature on the inside changed. And if we'll listen to that nature that's on the inside, we can understand spiritual things. And so one day the duck is there with all these chickens, but another duck shows up. And he begins to see himself. Hey, I've got duck things, he's got duck things. I've got web feet, he's got web feet. You know, I mean, on the inside, and this duck begins to talk to him. And he begins to understand. He said, you can fly. I can fly, but I thought I was a chicken. See, we think we're something different. Oh, I'm just human. No, you've got a spirit on the inside of you that's been made alive to God. And you can begin to understand God things. You can begin to understand faith. You can understand who He is and what He has for you. How to receive from Him. Because He now can compare spiritual things with a spirit that's been made like unto Him. See, God is a spirit. We worship Him, what? In spirit and in truth. Out of that new nature, there was no one that had a changed nature until we were born again. Jesus says, from this mountain, you think you're worshiping me, but I'm telling you, I'm looking for those who will worship me in spirit and in truth, who will know me by the inner man, who can then come and be like me, can understand what I'm saying, and can begin to discern and realize and compare the spiritual things with spiritual, and begin to understand God and know Him and walk with Him, spirit to spirit, mind. And we understand now what He has given. He says they're not received of the natural mind. They were received by the Spirit. The spirit of man is the one that God begins to teach. He said, which things also we speak, what? Not with words, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. He begins to compare spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive. Amen. Receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. He can't know them because they're spiritually discerned. But you and I, we can know them. We can know the things of God because our spirit's been changed. Because we are now what? We're now a son. We're now an heir. We're a joint heir with him. We belong to God. We've been what? Born again. We've been changed. The light has come. God has lit our candle. Hallelujah. Our man on the inside, which is now what? Changed to be, not that we're never going to be gods. We got to remember that. We're not going to be God, but we're like him. We're in his image. Amen. We've been talking about the grace of God that works in us. See, we're saved what? By grace through faith. That is the grace of God that's working on the inside of us. It is the power of God that's caused us to see. It is the light of God that has come and caused us to begin to understand. And now we can know who we are. We can know we've been changed from darkness to light, translated from the kingdom of darkness into his kingdom. And that's where we walk. We walk from our spiritual man. We become more aware of that. That's one reason we're, like we're saying, when we pray in tongues, what happens? We're touching God. We're talking to God. We're letting our spirit begin to be exercised. Amen. And our spirit becomes, we become more aware of spiritual things than we are of the natural things. That's what begins to take place, and God begins to teach us. The Holy Spirit begins to make it alive on the inside of us. Yes, we have preachers and teachers. Yes, we have people that can explain some of the things of God. But if you're not born again, how many know it doesn't really matter too much? You have a hard time understanding. But when we have the Holy Spirit in us, we've got the nature of Christ in us, we can understand the things of God. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 1 John 2. I'm glad. How many are glad you've been born again? You've got a nature that can understand him. 1 John 2:20, he says that, but you have received an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. What is he talking about? He's talking about that inner man. You've received an unction, an anointing, a different kind of spirit that lives on the inside of you. Hallelujah. And we know, we begin to what? Know it. We know that truth. He said, how do we know we pass from darkness to light? We love the brother. There's a different nature in there. The nature of love moved in. Amen. The nature of God, the life of God, the light of God. And then verse 27, he says, but the anointing which you've received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Hallelujah. How many know you have a nature down on the inside of you, and the Spirit of God can teach you, and you can understand the things of God. Yes, we have men that share things, but how many know, even if you teach something to you, you know, if I teach something or someone comes and shares something with you, doesn't it have to become your own? At the same time, the Holy Spirit witnesses, bears witness in your heart of those truths. And then those truths begin to become real what? To you on the inside. Because you have the ability to understand it. Because you are no longer darkness, but you are now light in the Lord. Hallelujah. And we're to walk what? As children of light. We walk according to that nature on the inside of us. That's where the Holy Spirit dwells. He dwells in us. He said, I'll dwell in you. I'll be in you. What? Forever. Glory to God. We don't have to worry about it. We can understand the things of God. Sometimes we say, well, it may be difficult at times. It may be hard. But how many know? We can begin to understand if we'll listen to our heart, to our spirit on the inside. We have a nature that's been changed. We're not the same. We have now received that light, which is the development of men. That light begins to grow on the inside of us. That nature grows. It may have come in the seed form at first. It may just be a little seed. But as we nurture that, as we get to know God, as we spend time with Him, and we meditate in the Word of God, He begins to teach us. The Holy Spirit Himself teaches our spirit. We can trust our inner man now. He knows right and wrong. We know what's right from wrong. Why? Because God has written His law in our heart. We already know. We were born in true righteousness and holiness, and that's what begins to rise up, and that's what begins to push out what any darkness, anything that's not of God, begins to be pushed out of our life, out of our soul, and things of the past can be overcome, and really, fully, we begin to be transformed in the fullness of the nature of Christ. And that's really the process, but it begins when we realize our nature can be taught by Him. I now look like Jesus on the inside of me. I now have the nature of Christ. I now have the Spirit of Christ in me. I've been changed. How about you? How many are glad? I know it's very simple, but it's very important. Because it's the beginning of realizing who we are and how we can operate with Him. It is not through our natural mind necessarily, even though that's involved. That brings it down into our heart, but it's really with our spirit man. That's where we understand. And when we cultivate and become more conscious of the spirit of man and the Holy Spirit teaching us, that's where we gain really the knowledge of God. And we begin to grow, we begin to mature, and we begin to change. And what's on the inside, what begins to shine on the outside, it becomes a reflection in our life of who we really are. That everything that Christ is in us begins to come forward when we spend time in His presence, when we, you know, spend time in the Word of God. It feeds that spirit man. It feeds the inner man. And the inner man gets stronger than that outer man. The outer man more and more, the Bible says, what? Outwardly we perish. The outer man can, even natural things we put away. I know He's talking partly about the physical body. It does begin to perish, but so do natural things. You ever sing that song, you know? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in the light of His face. You know, we see Him when we're looking at His face, when we're looking at Him. The things of earth grow strangely dim. What? In the light of His glory and grace. He is the glory of God. He is the presence. And we are changed. We're being transformed from that inner man and is coming to the outside where all men can see. We become that reflection of Jesus to where men will say, even as they did about some of the apostles of old, these are not learned men. But we know one thing, they've been with Jesus. You know, they weren't great scholars. We're talking about the fishermen and the tax collectors, right? They weren't that, you know, He didn't go to the Ivy League college to find the best one. He didn't go get Gamaliel. Jesus found the common man. And when they were finally born again, He trained them. He said, hey, I've come. There's a change coming, guys. I'm getting ready to prepare the way for you. I'm going to the cross and the way is going to be made. You're going to be changed. You're going to go from darkness to light. And you're going to see who I am and all that I have. Hallelujah. Whew, how many are glad to be born again today? God is our Father. He's the one. He's given us an inheritance. And in that, we can know Him. We can commune with Him. Spirit to spirit. We can understand Him. Comparing what the spiritual things with spiritual, because we have been changed. We've got that nature in us. And on top of that, we receive the Holy Spirit. He comes in. He begins to be our teacher, the one that guides each and every one of us. I don't care if you're called to be a prophet. It's all right. But the prophet's anointing doesn't lead you in life. God said we're led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. You know, we're led by the Spirit of God. We're not led by a calling. We're not led by prophets, but we're led by that Spirit on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit bringing that witness to us. And the times that we spend with Him in His presence, then what we grow and we mature in the call of God and the places of God grow in us like a tree. We begin to understand the different things that He's given us, our inheritance, and then sometimes, you know, in the natural, you know, where we belong, where we fit in the body of Christ. What is my place? What is my call? Where do I belong? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You for the truth of it, that we've been changed, that we're not the same. You didn't come to leave us, Lord, but You came to change us, Lord. You didn't come to leave us to struggle with the death nature, but You've given us life. You've given us light, Father. You've changed us to where we can now understand who we are and who You are. And we can understand these spiritual things, and the Word of God can become real on the inside of us. And our nature continues to grow, Father, and push out the things of the flesh, the things of the natural, Lord. We want to be more spirit conscious, Lord. We want to walk by the Spirit, Lord, and walk with You hand in hand and possess all the inheritance that You have given us, Lord. We thank You. We praise You. We glorify You for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.